All right, Predictably Drunk podcast back on the air. I guess this is technically episode 7. I'm going to call it 6.5.
Okay.
Still here with Abel Jaramillo.
Yep.
We're having too much fun, so we decided to do kind of a bonus one. This might be a lost episode where it maybe comes out later. But we're just having too much fun. I mean, Abel and I are friends, and you know, not that Jeremy and I aren't.
Well, we pee in the same stall together.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah, we do cross.
We high five while we do it.
Fucking yeah. That's who do you think fingers his dick hole?
Yeah, well, hey, you know, somebody's got to do it.
You're welcome.
Somebody's got to do it. So we were just kind of talking a little bit off the air about Abel's, I guess, your preparation for when you do comedy. Yes, and everybody does involved. A little bit differently.
You
right?
make fun of me for my preparation. We'll call it preparation.
I don't know if I make fun of you. I think it's. I don't know. It's whatever gets you up for the show. Yeah. So I can't really judge. But everybody does a little bit differently. Like I was just we just did a show recently where Ryan Anderson, aka Lefty, he listens to music before he goes on, which is a popular thing that, you know, you
I don't put think in the he has anything plugged into the earbuds.
I think you're right. I think I want to find where that plug is because I think it's just plugged into nothing.
It's usually going to his back pocket. Yeah. It makes me think of other things that yeah. it's plugged into.
Yeah. So, but a lot of people listen to music. Some people.
Curry's a big music guy.
Some people, yeah, Jeremy Curry. Some people get very, like, Kabir Singh just bets on everything.
He goes to find any. Like whack game that's on ESPN2 yeah. at the time.
He's like, what's the line on the cricket score?
Yeah.
And we're going to go with that. So everybody does a little differently. Abel, you're a little better about it, but you disappear. You disappear, you throw up.
Yes.
And you don't talk to anybody.
I don't talk to anyone. I can't yet. I'm not that cool enough to be able to sit there and have a conversation with other comics and not think about what I'm going to do. So I actually start preparing. Let's say the show's at 8 o'clock. I start preparing at 4. And by preparing, I mean I stop smoking weed and snorting oxycodone. And I definitely take it easy on the freebase. You know what I mean? So and if the show's at 8, I'll start that at 2. And from 2 until 8, I dry out. I just go over my X amount of minutes. If I'm doing 10, 15, 20, I go through and I just start doing it. And I just do it over and over. And I constantly walk around, like, my neighborhood to where I get weird looks from my neighbors because I'm speaking to myself, but, you know, fuck
it. So you're rehearsing your set, which is, you know, probably more than most comedians do. But you just mentioned, you know, whether I'm doing 10, 15. What if you don't know? Because a lot of times I show up to a gig and they tell me that night, I can usually assume I'm going to do 8, 10, 15, whatever, based on where I'm at and how many comedians are on the you know, dais. But what do you do if you're preparing for 10 and they say you're doing 15? What does that do to you?
That, I don't mind that. I would prefer to have longer time.
Okay, what if in that case then, what if you're preparing for 15 and they give you 10?
I just take everything that I know is super heavy and good. So I can jabber on forever and I can elaborate and turn my story that is really a minute and a half and just stretch it out to 3 minutes. You know what I mean? I've actually gotten better with that. That's something big that early on I would go too fast. I wouldn't stop. I would get uncomfortable if it was quiet, if the audience was quiet. Not so much that they weren't laughing at my punchlines, but I was just nervous and felt like I had to fill that space. I don't have that issue anymore. I feel a lot more comfortable, even if it's pin drop quiet. I don't care. I know I've got good stuff. I trust in what I got, and I make up my mind before I go up. I say, this is what I'm doing. And if I ad-lib in the middle, great, not a big deal. But I usually stick with what I'm going, and I do it with a lot of conviction.
It's just interesting to me because, you know, outside of a gig, talking to you, just on a, you know, social, whatever, you're a pretty verbose dude. You're social. You talk to people.
Did you just call me a fucking name? What's verbose? I heard Curry on one of them was like, you were calling him some other fucking word. Why do you use big words with me?
It's a two-syllable word, dude.
Look, my name's Jaramillo, okay? Yeah. Don't fuck with the syllables. I got syllables. When you make shit up and make words up, verbose, I don't. Is that like those fucking speakers that don't really work really good if you're wirelessly hooked up? Well, these are verbose.
So, what verbose means is you can talk, basically.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just
so Abel actually went to my family's Christmas party that I could not make.
Yes, I was there.
Abel showed up. He was my representative.
I was Sam. I was Sam.
Yeah, and you showed up and spoke and made new friends with people that you've never met in your life.
Correct.
You're very social.
Yes.
But before a gig, before you go on, you are the most, like, gothic teenager ever. Like, don't talk to me. I'm wearing a trench coat, and I might shoot you.
Yeah, yes. I want nothing to do with you. I'm going to be at the Motel 6 next door trying to speak to the lady, like, changing the beds, because I know she's not going to understand me. And whatever I say, it doesn't matter to her.
Yeah.
But, yes, I like to be off alone. I do a lot of wandering.
I leave.
I get there early. I make sure I'm there at least 2 hours early before the show. And I do nothing but like walk around and recon cars that I'm going to break into after the show.
Abel and I did a show in Sacramento, California, the Punchline.
Yes.
Which is a great venue, nationwide venue.
Yes.
We're very honored to be on the Punchline.
We had a great show that night.
You left. That was a great show, by the way.
Several times.
Yeah, and you and nobody knew what we're Abel was.
No, it was hidden.
Until they called your name to get on stage, and then you showed up.
There I was, with barf on my shoe.
So you throw up before your sets.
Well, a couple times it's happened. It happened last time. It happened at the Improv when I was on the Improv. It happened that time actually 3 times.
At the Urban Comedy Bash.
At the Urban Comedy Bash. It was a small one. I mean, it was more like a barfette. But Punchline was full on barf.
All
like three barfs. I took 2 dumps and like, I wish I was making this up just to be facetious, but it's not. I seriously like shit everything I had in me, barfed it out, pissed a bunch of times, went up and did my set, and it was great.
That's, I don't know, that's... I get nervous, but I've never been that nervous where I've needed to throw up.
I didn't know. So when it happened that time, I didn't really know why. It was nerves. I thought I was sick. I was like, damn, something's wrong with me. I'm fucking sick. But no, after the show, it helped. Yeah, my syphilis is flaring up. I felt, it felt different. And after then I kind of realized, I was like, yeah, that was nerves. I was nervous to go up. Which I really had no reason to be. I had a boatload of people there that I knew. It was doing the same.
Your audience that night. So Abel knows the most ghetto-ass fuckers that show up to these shows.
Yes.
And to a point where his audience at the Sacramento Punchline, this is probably a year ago at this point.
Yes.
Were yelling at us on stage, just screaming at us and not making much sense.
That was my brother. So, yes, that was him. He was very excited. He drank a lot too much Jack Daniels before the show. And being that heads, he knows Curry. He's seen you a couple times. He's seen Kabir a couple times. That makes you also his brother.
He's empowered.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once you drink that much Jack Daniels, you're that large.
You're done.
He's a very large man.
Yeah.
He's not a small man. And no. So when you're, even as a bouncer, because the bouncer came up to me and goes, hey, your brother over there.
Oh, I remember.
Is acting up.
I was there.
I was there.
Yeah. I know the whole story.
Yes,
yeah.
He was there.
So, how do you deal with? I mean, obviously, he wasn't heckling you, but how have you dealt with hecklers at this point? Do you get a lot?
I haven't had too many. I had a guy that looked like Greg Allman one time at the Improv. He was totally Rogan.
San Jose Improv.
Yeah, San Jose Improv. He had on a crushed velvet blue blazer. He had a skullet that you can tell he dyed, like a darker color.
Skullet, for those that don't know, is bald on top with the mud flap in the back of a traditional mullet.
It's like a long-haired Friar Tuck.
Yes.
If you want to call it that.
That's a good reference.
You know what I mean? Okay.
Nobody's going to get that but me, but it's a good reference.
Yes. So he just wanted to talk during my set. He thought that after every joke I told, he should either repeat the joke to me or his friend or say something he thought would be funnier. So I put him in his place by making fun of his fringe jacket and the fact that, you know, his beard had a lot of Just for Men in it. And that was fine. I've got people involved in the show versus heckling. Like, I do a joke where I talk about watching a porno with my wife And you got to be choosy with the porno. You can't just pick Anal Invaders number 6 to watch with your wife.
Right.
And so when I said that, a girl in the front row, she was like, woo! And she got all into it.
Anal Invaders! Yeah, yay!
Exactly. And so I go, oh, were you in that one? You know, and she starts to, you know, she laughs a little bit. I go, hold on, turn around. Let me see the back of your head. And I go, oh, you were in that one.
Brilliant.
Yes. So I don't get too many hecklers per se, as I try to get people involved in the show if they have something to say.
I get a lot of hecklers. I get a lot of people.
You're not that good.
But it's nothing to do with that. If you're not, no, honestly, if you're not good, I don't think you get hecklers. I think if you're not good, it's just quiet.
And people feel the pain.
If you get hecklers, it's one of two things. Some drunk motherfucker that'll get kicked out.
Yes.
Or you've struck a nerve with somebody.
Yes.
Which means they're listening, which means you've done your job.
True. Right? Very true. Very
so
true.
I do, as you know, I do sports. You know, I have a whole thing on the 49ers. I have a whole thing on the Raiders. I've got things on the Giants. I've got, you know, sports.
Notice how you have nothing on the Dolphins because no one gives a fuck about
it. It's
the
a
Dolphins.
Joke in itself.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you get me to South Beach, motherfucker. I got 25 minutes for those assholes.
Yeah, there you go.
But I do a lot of, I guess, polarizing stuff. I do some gay humor, you know, stuff like that.
You call your kid a venereal disease?
No, I do. You're right. I do. Although I've kind of retired that joke, but I have referenced my kid as being an STD.
That's a good one. That pisses people off. People,
they get mad until I explain it, and then they kind of get it.
They still hate him.
They don't like they me. But the thing is, like, I'm 6'1", and I'm 230 pounds.
Yeah.
And you're on stage, so you got to be careful, because when you're, I guess, a little bit above average.
People want to fight you.
They get mad. You're a bully. Yeah. Like,
I'll fight you.
You talk to somebody you get a comedian on stage who's not that big. And they can say whatever the fuck they want because, you know, it's disarming that
everyone loves Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
A little fucking chocolate elf.
Oh,
it's so funny.
Yeah, I agree. So you got to be careful. But, when I get a heckler, I've gotten better about it. I used to engage them. Usually I ignore them now and they settle down. But if they don't, you've got your go-to lines that you go to. Chris Storin, actually.
I saw it.
Chris Storin is really good at handling hecklers. He's another comedian. He's going to be
on the show. Yeah.
He's going to be at the. You guys booked him, right? 420 comedy joke out April 17th, Newark Swiss Park. Chris Storin, check him out. He was at. You know that motherfucker did comedy for the Wild 94.9, which is a local radio station.
Comedy Jam.
They packed like 20,000 people into that shit. So this guy's got a resume.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself. And he just, the way he handles hecklers, I actually posted it on social media because I was like, this guy is destroying these motherfuckers in the audience trying to be, and that's the thing. Hecklers are trying to make a name for themselves, right? You know, they want to be part of the show.
I want to be the king monkey. Yeah. I'm funnier than you, guy with the microphone.
And that has nothing to... By the way, we have a microphone for all you potential hecklers out there. So if you want to be loud, guess what? We can be louder.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of how we want to handle you. And if somebody's ignoring you, they're being nice. Trust me, they're being nice. Because we get off stage and the first thing we say is, who is that motherfucker who is talking? And then we nominate somebody who's going on later to go trash you.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you had your buddies at Tommy T's one time. You weren't even trashing them. You were calling them Harry Potter. But every single person that went up there knew who Harry Potter was, where he was sitting, and what he was about.
Yeah, I was hosting a comedy gig at a comedy show at a comedy club. And
comedy. Were you being funny?
And there's a guy in the front who was a white guy with glasses, and he became Harry Potter. And at that point, every comedian latched on, and he was done. It was over. It was over. I had a guy at another comedy club wearing a Colin Kaepernick jersey who, if you guys don't know, was the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And he's this Mexican guy just talking mad shit. And he was getting all the comedians off their game. Big, heavy hitters, too. Like, Sammy Obey got off stage and was like, I don't know what's going on. You know, Sammy Obey's a headliner.
Yeah, good.
So I'm like, I got this motherfucker. So for some reason, I was on a show with Sammy Obade, and I was going on after him. I think Sammy had like
a better... Bizarro World?
Yeah, he had a better gig somewhere else.
Ah, well.
And so he's like, I'm going to get in and get out. So I get on stage, and I can hear this motherfucker from the back, and I'm like, listen, listen, is that Colin Kaepernick in the back? Whatever guy who, you know, you have claimed is your new sports boyfriend, if you want to play Dungeons & Dragons Sports Edition, that's fine. Whatever poster you got hanging in your room, go for it. Don't come to my fucking work and tell me what to do. I don't go to your work and tell you how to clean pubes up off the fucking urinals, right? And he got so mad. And then I get off stage. The problem with when you kill a guy on stage
is that
you got to get off the stage at some point.
Go home.
And him and his buddies are going to be there. And
you're a funny guy, huh, bro? Yeah. You think you're funny?
Thankfully, Mouthpiece Malone, who is the hardest white-looking motherfucker you'd ever seen in your life, was there. He's got neck tattoos on his throat that say throat. And he
just in case.
So he took over. But shit, man, we were just doing a little bonus episode because we're having fun. So what's going on? What else is so you ride motorcycles?
Ride motorcycles, like riding motorcycles, getting a new motorcycle, crash my old motorcycle. Motorcycles rule. I think you should get one.
I kind of wanted. I had this idea of the show because I grew up with a single mom for the most part.
Me too.
And I didn't really have my mom was my father figure, and she did a great job at it. But I wanted to do
is
the
that
show.
Why you pee sitting down?
That well, yeah. I mean,
that
come on.
Feels good. I know.
I'm just tired, bro. My thighs hurt when I stand.
You have so nice thighs. You do have nice thighs.
Yeah, I use them when I need them.
Do your glutes tighten like Tiger Woods the other day?
Yeah, tight glutes. I had to pull out of that tournament.
I like to pull out. I'm not gonna lie.
You know, one of the things about it is I always wanted to do this thing about, okay, like my dad never taught me how to shave. He never taught me. I had this idea about becoming a man and like what are manly things. And a very manly thing.
Your mom
is
did a great job teaching you how to shave your legs, though.
I can shave against the grain.
Ooh, be careful.
Yeah, no, I know what I'm doing.
Be careful.
But I wanted to do this thing about, you know, riding with a motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
And you happen to be in one of the hardest motorcycle gangs
yes.
on planet Earth.
Yes, we ride motorcycles, and then as soon as we get off, we turn right into the Jets from West Side Story. There's a lot of finger snapping going on. Yeah, a lot of that going on.
Like how in sync that snapping was.
Are you kidding me? That's because, bro, you're in the motorcycle gang.
Like we're comedy twins.
We're going to get you a motorcycle.
So does anybody in your motorbike gang have a sidecar that I can ride in?
No. We do have a back seat that you can ride on.
A back seat. I got to hold another dude.
Well, no, you got to hold the gas can because that's the only way you're going to get on the back seat is if you have a gas can.
Okay.
That means that you broke down somewheres. Yeah, you broke down somewheres, and that's the only reason why you're on the back of the bike is because you ran out of gas.
Can we film this?
Oh, can we? You kidding me?
We have to.
Yeah, it'd be great. Hopefully, if your balls have to be on someone's back, I hope they're on my back.
I'll ride with you any day. You know that.
I will put a little tramp stamp on my back.
That's
You know what I mean? I'll put a little extra fringe back there you can tie around your ball sack. And you'll love it. I mean, honestly, you may get a little hard. And I'm willing to take that.
So let me ask you this. What do you want to, like, within comedy, going back to comedy?
I like comedy.
I like comedy. I like what I do.
I like funny shit. Thanks for asking.
What's, like, if you're thinking, okay, you know, by the time this airs, it's going to be March.
Woo.
What are you looking to accomplish in 2015? Like if there's one thing that Abel Hatemio...
I just want to keep getting better. You know what I mean? I'd like to keep getting better. I like that we're putting on shows now.
But you're producing shows.
I'm producing shows.
So that gets you better.
I don't like to say that, man.
No, you are, though.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
I agree that I I'm a strong force behind it. But to take, you know, the full credit of production is a little bit much for
me. I didn't
me
say
right
full
now.
Production. Okay. You guys, it's you and Kabir.
Well, yeah, Kabir does. And you're part of it. Like I said, we have a good team that takes care of each other. And playing our roles helps out a lot. I'd love to get better and put on better shows, produce better shows. Because simply, it's comics helping comics. It's not just me doing it all myself. And to me, it opens up way more avenues for everybody else.
Are you looking to travel? Do you want to go down to L.A.? Do you want to hit another area outside of the Bay Area?
I wouldn't mind it. I know that if we went to Arizona and did a two-show Friday night, we would sell out every show.
I'm going to be in Tucson in late April.
I said Arizona, not Mexico. That's once you go past Phoenix, Everything is Mexico from there.
All right.
Okay. I would suggest you stay out of Tucson. All right.
I'm there for a week, so
you're gonna lose a liver then.
That's fine.
I can almost guarantee that.
I have an extra one.
Do you?
Who's gonna steal this liver? This show's called Predictably Drunk, bro.
They're Mexicans, bro.
Predictably drunk.
If they can't sell it, they'll fucking eat it. You know what I mean? Let's just. They'll be like, "Oh, this is a good one. It smells like tequila."
Yeah. Okay. So you just want to get better? I mean, in that.
I'd like to get more jokes.
Yeah. Right? Well, let me ask you this: what's your joke writing process like? That's a good question. So, are you taking? A lot of your stuff is based on your own personal life.
Yes.
Which is always, in my opinion, the best thing you can do.
I try and stay in my lane, number one. I try to do stuff that I know is funny. So if I'm out in normal, regular, like, hangout mode. Did you lose your eyeball?
I found it.
You got it. Okay. So I try to just do what comes naturally. Stay in my lane. And when I write, I just write and I don't stop. I let everything, good, bad, and different. It doesn't matter if it sucks. It doesn't matter if it's great, but
I do you write everything down?
I write everything down. I've got a Justin Bieber notebook.
That you're like Tupac. You got a bunch of unpublished songs right now.
Yes. Yes. I have a bunch of jokes that I've never done on stage. Just because I feel that when you write it down and get it out, that makes room for newer shit. You're not real.
Like you're purging.
Yeah. Because now you can't rely on that. You've already put it out. You could probably tweak it. Something you've already written, but you're not thinking about that thought anymore. It's not a thought anymore.
Yeah.
And to me, that makes more room for newer shit. And so the more new shit you try, the more you shit get out. To me, it's like taking a pitch or swinging at a pitch. I'd much rather swing at a pitch than take a pitch. You know what I mean? I might just get lucky and hit it. Sure, it may be at the tops of my shoelaces.
Right.
But if I don't swing,
you never know.
I may hit it. I may hit out the end of the bat and see what works and what doesn't.
So let me ask you this. I'm switching gears. It's not a natural transition. I am a gear switcher. Your cousin, Jeremy Curry.
Jeremy.
He is a you're a San Francisco Giants fan.
Yes.
So you're the king cock right now.
Thank you.
You are the king of you are the rooster.
I like king cock. Can we just stick with that?
King Cock Abel Jaramillo.
Can we call it Thick King Cock? Because that's more...
Thick King Cock Abel Jaramillo. Your cousin. He's a Braves fan.
He's been a Braves fan for his whole life also.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Dale Murphy, that's his
guy. I had a Dale Murphy first base glove. I'm left-handed. I had a Dale Murphy first
base
glove.
Dale Murphy was his guy.
It was the only first base glove.
Fell in love with Dale Murphy and Dan Marino.
Okay, so he likes the D, is what you're saying.
Are you kidding me? Loves the D. Why do you think he hangs out with Koenig?
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah. What do you think about... I mean, this is you and I right now. I know it's recording, but I think Jeff would be a fun guest.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
I got to get Jeff on here.
It should be Jeff and...
The Jeff and Sam show?
I think you may need some kind of, like, retard interpreter for Jeff. So you may just want to think about...
Retarder-per?
Yeah, yeah, something that actually speaks Koenig.
I think that's Jeremy.
It is Jeremy.
Yeah, or
it
Kabir.
No, Kabir will just end up strangling him halfway through. At least Curry will just sit there and explain to you because he speaks Koenig.
So I got to ask you about this because a couple weeks ago, the Atlanta Braves outfielder, B.J. Upton.
B.J.?
Okay.
Who doesn't love
which,
B.J.?
Which is a hilarious name.
B.J.
And I can understand why he would do this. Because, you know, everybody's been making fun of his name forever. His brother's name is Justin. And you can't really make fun of Justin Upton. That's not his standard.
He's
name.
Much larger than his brother. Justin Upton is a big, bulky man.
So he's a small BJ, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, and small which again BJ. Is probably the point of changing your name. But his name's BJ Upton. And he decides to go with his birth name.
It's your government name.
Right, his government name.
If
so
he's
sick.
You say government.
He's sick of people making fun of the fact that he goes by BJ. So
that he strikes out a lot.
Yeah, and he's had enough, and he decides. And he's an outfielder for the Atlanta Braves. He decides the best way to prevent people from making fun of his name anymore is to change it.
Sure, like Mike Stanton did.
Makes sense.
Mike Stanton changed his name to Giancarlo Stanton.
So, BJ changed his name to Melvin.
Yes.
Melvin.
Because that, if you have choices...
Problem solved.
Melvin is the way to go.
You go from BJ Upton to Melvin?
Well,
and that's an upgrade?
What a BJ was is BJ like Buster Posey, okay? Is it something? Is it a nickname? Buster Posey's real name is Gerald. Right? Gerald.
Buster sounds better than Gerald.
Okay, all right.
It's an upgrade.
I'm gonna say is what's BJ? Is BJ a nickname? What is it short for? Is it
so apparently what BJ from what I gather, BJ was Boss Man Jr.
Boss Upton. Man. Now are we going like Roscoe P. Coltrane?
Kind I don't of know.
Boss Hog?
My opinion is if you're gonna change your name from BJ Upton, change it to Boss Man Jr.
I am in full support of changing.
Boss Man Jr. Fuck Upton. I don't need an Upton.
What about just Boss Man? Just go Boss single
Man.
Name.
Boss Man. And then if you're bigger than your brother, which is not, then you go Big Boss Man, which, you know, of course is a
so
wrestler.
He'd be a BBM versus a BBW. He would be a,
which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I got you.
But Melvin, Melvin's not better. Maybe. He became a black guy who's not intimidating. You ever met a black guy who turns out to be gay? Have you ever met that?
Yeah, his name's Stacy and or Tracy.
Yeah. Once you find out they're gay, like black guys have more street cred, more everything than everybody
else. Well, they can wear like hats with tags and stickers on it, and that shit looks cool. And I look like I stole.
Yeah, but they're cool. Like black guys are cool. They're cool fucking dudes. And then you find out they're gay, and you're like, "That's the least intimidating thing I've ever heard in my life."
I will whoop your ass,
and they would. They would. They would still whoop my ass as a gay black dude.
but you still.
But until that point, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
So you go from BJ to Melvin. Melvin. I'm not afraid of you. Do my fucking taxes.
Maybe he's going by Mel. Maybe he wants to be Mel.
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 Mel, Mel Upton. Mel Upton. Hey. Mel Upton. You sound like an Malupton. STD. I got Malupton.
I got a flare-up of Malupton.
Yeah, I'm a baseball player, and I went and got this rat.
Look at my tonsils. Do you see any Malupton on there?
Don't they look Malupton to you?
Ugh. Yeah. My glands are so Malupton.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right move.
Well, I think he lost a bet.
Yeah, he might have. I mean, he's a fucking Atlanta Brave, so you lost many things in his life.
Yeah, like
mainly games and money.
Of being a baseball player.
Sorry, man. We did a bonus episode, which actually is the first one where we're on time here.
no, we're not. You said he was going to do it for 10 minutes.
It's I know. We're going on 30. So April 17th, 420 Comedy Jam. My apologies. 420 Comedy Joke Out.
Yes.
April 17th.
You wrote that.
It's by poster. I'm looking at that. I know. I'm stupid. Swiss Park in Newark. Pretty. Tickets on sale now.
Tickets on sale now, Eventbrite.
Where do you get them? Eventbrite?
Kabir.com.
KabirSingComedy.com.
KabirComedy. KabirComedy.
We don't know. We have
just
no idea.
Just go to Eventbrite.
Yeah. Go to Eventbrite. Call me. Your sponsors, can they get tickets at
their
sponsors?
Yes, at Wicked Artistry Tattoo in Fremont.
Okay.
And also at Stay Winning Boutique, also located in Fremont. And then for the after party, we're going to have Bronco Billy's Pizzeria have slices ready. And taking orders, and beer and wine, and pizza, and a big parking lot out in front to smoke even more weed.
Excellent.
That's what you do.
I don't smoke weed, but I'm glad that other
you're
people
You're going to that night. We're going to get you. I'm going to, you know, people get roofied. I'm going to do some kind of contact high with
Should
you.
I GoPro it? Should I put a GoPro on my head while I get high?
Probably. More than likely.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You know what? A lot of people smoke a lot of weed with me, and they say, I got too high with
you. Too high.
Yeah.
I overdosed.
Well, no, they overdosed, but they're like, there's a lot of giggling and like Pop-Tarts.
So it's an Abel Jaramillo production. This is your second one. I was a part of the first one. It was a fantastic show.
Fantastic.
You sold it out. We got some feedback as how to make it better. I think you're implementing that, so it's going to be even better.
Drink wells in the back. We're going to have more servers. We're going to have a raffle this time. We're going to be giving away tickets, so every ticket bought is a raffle ticket. You don't have to buy an extra. We're going to be giving away sets of tickets to improv.
See how we're doing this, fans? We're looking out for you guys. Honestly, we're not going to bilk you twice. We're giving you. You buy the ticket, you're in the raffle.
That's it. Buy a ticket, you're in the raffle.
Excellent.
You buy a whole table, I'll buy some appetizers for you.
Excellent.
Okay? You buy a whole table, and I'm getting you some appetizers.
There you go. So you buy a whole table, appetizers on Abel.
Yeah, you actually have to eat them off of me also.
Yeah, they're going to be on Able.
Yeah.
So you got to
just be careful with the sushi roll.
Depends on, you get to choose belly or back.
No, you don't.
No.
It's all going to be belly.
Okay.
It's going to be belly. Disgusting. I'm going to shave though ahead of time, you know what I mean? Just don't lick me.
Okay, don't lick Abel.
No, you can lick me.
No, don't do that. Well, thank you very much, Abel. This is 3 weeks in the books.
Look at
fantastic
that.
Shows. I've appreciated this. This has been a lot of fun. Again, you can find Abel April 17th at the 420 Comedy Joke Out. You can check out Abel. If you're not friends with Abel and you're listening to this, find
Something's
him on
wrong
Facebook.
With you if you're not friends.
Yeah, no, he's a funny dude. Get him on Facebook. You can find him.
I'm on Instagram at ReeferGuy.
ReeferGuy.
ReeferGuy. Yep. And yep. I am on Twitter at Potamillo. Potamillo.
I did not know you were on fucking Twitter. I've been on Twitter for years. And you and I have been friends for years. And I. Potamillo.
Potamillo, that's right.
Okay, well, yes. that's news. You can catch me on, if you're in Reno.
If you're in Reno too.
Yeah, if you're in Reno, show up. It'll be the best thing that's ever happened to you. May 29th, Friday, Pioneer Underground, one show. May 30th, two shows, Saturday night, Pioneer Underground. Thank you very much. Just awesome, man. I look forward to seeing how you continue to grow and blossom as a comedian and a producer. And let's go drink, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.